You're about to listen to the presentation of the latest report of the United Nations Secretary General on the situation in Mali before the Security Council. This presentation took place at the Council's meeting held on the 11th of January 2016.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon. The 7,600th meeting of the Security Council is hereby called to order. Now, as this is the first formal meeting of the Security Council this year, I should like to extend my warm wishes on the occasion of the new year to all members of the Security Council, the United Nations, and the Secretariat. And presiding over this first formal meeting of the Council in 2016, I'm happy to welcome the other new members, Egypt, Japan, Senegal, and Ukraine, and we look forward to their participation in the work of the Council. Their experience and wisdom will be of invaluable assistance in the discharge of the Council's responsibilities. I shall also take this opportunity to express the Council's gratitude to the outgoing members, namely Chad, Chile, Jordan, Lithuania, and Nigeria, for their important contributions to the work of the Council during their terms in 2014 and 2015. I should also like to take this opportunity to pay tribute on behalf of the Council to Her Excellency Ms. Samantha Power, Permanent Representative of the United States, for her service as President of the Council for the month of December 2015. I am sure I speak for all members of the Council in expressing deep appreciation to Ambassador Power and her team for the great diplomatic skill with which they conducted the Council's business last month. And at the same time, I'll very briefly share with you some thoughts from Uruguay's side, since we are back on the Council after 50 years of absence. And we are eager to work actively and closely with all members and indeed the wider UN membership to achieve the objectives of our organization. Now, the provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in Mali. My understanding is that the agenda is now approved. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I now invite the representative of Mali to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. On behalf of the Council, I welcome His Excellency Mr. Abdoulaye Diop. He is the Minister for Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Mali. Welcome, Mr. Minister. In accordance with Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite Mr. Hervé Ladsou, Under Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of Item 2 of the agenda. And here I wish to draw the attention of Council members to document S-2015-1030, the report of the Secretary General on the situation in Mali. I wish to also draw the attention of Council members to document S-2016-8, which is a letter dated 5th of January 2016 from the Secretary General, and it is addressed to the President of the Security Council. I now give the floor to Mr. Hervé Ladsou. Thank you, Mr. President, and allow me to begin by renewing as well to you as well as to other members my warm congratulations on your accession to the Security Council. I'm pleased to look ahead to the presidency under what I believe will be a fruitful time under your leadership. And, sir, I am pleased to present the latest report of the Secretary General of the situation in Mali and the activities of MINUSMA, and I'm happy to see that this will be in the presence of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Mali, Mr. Abdoulaye Diop. And here I'd like to express to him once again our deep appreciation from my department for the excellent relations between his government and MINUSMA. Now, since the last consultations last year in October, the situation in Mali has developed considerably, Mr. President. The parties, international mediation, and the signatory parties, and their relations have enabled us to build the dynamic in terms of the momentum in dialogue and coordination between the government, coordination, and the platform. Indeed, the government has initiated a series of confidence-building measures, and here I'll just mention the release of those persons who had been detained as a result of the conflict, and the meeting that was held on the 23rd of September last year between President Keita and representatives of the armed groups of the coordination and the platform, which helped to calm the situation between the parties, and this led to an effective cessation in hostilities. Now, this rapprochement between the coordination and the platform furthermore led to a more conducive environment to the effective functioning of the mechanisms for monitoring the accord, the Committee for Monitoring the Agreement, and the Technical Security Commission, which both met four times since the last meeting of the Council. And here let me speak to the important role played by the Special Representative of the Secretary General, Mr. Mongi Hamdi, which facilitated this rapprochement between the parties, specifically through the meeting in Bamako on the 23rd of September between the coordination and the platform. Furthermore, under his promotion or his efforts, MINUSMA continued to support the mechanisms for monitoring the agreement, and this is in conformity with the mandate. And here, there were specialists who were made available to each of the subcommittees to support the work of the subcommittees, and the force commander who presides over the Technical Security Commission also played a primary role in pushing forward the implementation of the cantonment exercise to identify sites and to activate joint patrols, as well as to implement the operational coordination mechanism. The new representative of the Secretary General, who Mr. Anadif, who is here today, will see, I am sure, to the continuing good offices of MINUSMA in the peace process. Now, the fact that the monitoring bodies are functional is one thing, Mr. President, but this did not fully translate into tangible progress towards the implementation of the agreement, and the process has continued to undergo significant delays over the past few months. Now, there has been progress. For example, the validation of 11 cantonment sites and the launch of construction works for two of them. And in the next 4 days, they will begin work on the fourth site, once it has been demined. So this is positive. And we also saw the adoption of decrees on the 29th of December. And under these decrees, we saw the establishment of the Integration Commission and the Commission on DDR. But just now I mentioned joint patrols, and unfortunately, it is regrettable that we have only had one such patrol on the 14th of November. There's another thing I'd mention, and here there is the establishment of the Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission, which is a positive development. But we're also concerned that we still have not yet seen the implementation of other political and institutional reforms that underpin the peace agreement. Now, if these delays are not addressed in earnest, there is the potential to unravel the hard-won confidence built so far between the signatory parties, as illustrated by the concerns expressed by the coordination and the platform in the last session of the CSA on the 17th and 18th December, and they did express some concerns. So this being the case, we welcome in the fact that the consultative meeting of the members of the CCA convened at ministerial level in Algiers on the 18th of January. We hope that this will contribute to address the above concerns that I just mentioned and set new timelines for implementing outstanding reforms. Now, the first priority in that regard should be the introduction of the interim administrative arrangements on which hinges the resumption of basic services in the north. Now, we understand that the parties have agreed in principle to establish temporary councils at the regional and local levels. And what we need to see now is the government and the parliament ensuring that these structures are established as early as possible. We must also, and this is important, see the parties prepare in earnest the local elections, because you will remember that they were postponed in October 2015. And we want to see them proceed with the revision of the electoral law as provided for in the peace agreement. Now, let's also remember that in the longer term, the government must rapidly turn its attention to institutional reforms provided by the agreement, starting with the Taoundé and Menaka regions, and will that they initiate the necessary consultations on the institutional reforms related to decentralization. Now, the Malian government and parliament ought to continue to take the lead in advancing the implementation of these reforms and to do so in an inclusive and consultative manner. In this regard, we welcome the announcement by the government that the National Committee for the Coordination of the Implementation of the Peace Agreement will include representatives designated by the signatory parties. This is very important, and we call on the movement to designate their representatives to these structures without delay, because once again, time is of the essence if we are to advance other key processes, notably the cantonment, the DDR and the SSR. For this to gain momentum, the work of the recently created Integration Commission will be crucial, and it is our hope that the government and the parties will make progress. Now, one lesson from the past 6 months that we have drawn is that the various pillars in the peace agreement are very closely interrelated, and their implementation therefore needs to take place in a parallel and synchronized manner. And for its part, MINUSMA will continue to exercise its good office mandate to continue to help build confidence between the parties and continue to advocate for inclusivity in the peace process. But as we all know, there will be no lasting peace in northern Mali without the provisions of peace dividends to the most vulnerable. And here, you'll remember that in October at the OECD in Paris, there was a major meeting of international partners, and we saw pledges of over 3.2 billion euros for the economic recovery and development of Mali, so that they will see development again. Now, we've already seen some progress already, notably in the field of education, thanks to the concerted efforts of the government and the humanitarians, including for the reopening of the schools in late October. And in the three northern regions, 89% of the schools that were operating before the crisis are now functional once again. But the fact remains that in areas affected by insecurity, one in five schools remain closed because of a lack of infrastructure, equipment, and such like. Now, MINUSPA has scaled up its support for communities in the north by 30%. and through 36 new quick impact projects to the tune of approximately 1.3 million. These include the provision of potable water in Kidal region, equipment for health centers in Kidal and Mopti, the refurbishment of social care centers in Gao, and social reintegration projects for women, youth, and IDPs in most of the areas in the north. But we must continue to do more, and we hope that the government and the movement will soon finalize the development strategy for the north in accordance with Article 34 of the peace agreement and the commitment made at the Paris conference. I'm stressing the urgency of overcoming these challenges on the political, security, and humanitarian fronts, Chairman, President, mainly because the peace process in Mali is still fragile and continues to face significant challenges. Now, over the past few months, we have seen the determination of the extremist groups in scuppering the peace process. And I would imagine that you would remember the statements made on the 16th and the 14th of October and the 14th of December by leaders of the Ansar Dine terrorist group condemning the peace process and denouncing the armed groups that signed the Alger Agreement and threatening to scale up their attacks against France and its allies, and this would include MINUSMA and the Malian government. In fact, the extremists continued to intimidate the populations and to attack Malian armed forces, Barkhane and MINUSMA, not only in the north of Mali, but also in the center and south of the country. And the signatory groups have also been targeted. And he had mentioned what happened on the 24th and 25th of December when Ansar Dine saw 15 people fall victim. And it is clear that is the peace process which is at issue here and threatened. And I remember, I will imagine you'd remember the attack against the Radisson Blue in Bamako during the meetings of the CSA and the Algerian delegation. And that was under Algeria's presidency. And then our convoys and camps are still heavily targeted by the extremist groups. And since the last report, the force suffered no less than 28 attacks, during 20 of which were during the last 3 months. And on 28th of November, six rockets struck our base in Kidal, killing two blue helmets and a contractor. Now, given the situation, you have to remember that two-thirds of MINUSMA troops, 94% of them are deployed military force, two-thirds of them are devoted to protecting facilities and convoys. Hardly a day goes by without IEDs exploding against our armored vehicles, and this is reducing the capacity of the mission to implement its mandate. Despite repeated calls, member states are still not giving us the logistical combat support that we need. And here I have to repeat that it is urgent that we implement the entire peace agreement. Operationalizing joint patrols alone and cantonment alone cannot reverse the security situation. And the roots of the conflict are political, and therefore there is no lasting solution without political reforms as well as institutional reforms under the agreement. Thank you, Mr. President.
Muchas gracias.
I thank Mr. Ladsu for a comprehensive briefing. I now invite Minister Diop to take the floor. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, allow me at the start of my intervention to repeat the warm congratulations of the delegation of Mali to your country, the Republic of Uruguay, on your election as president of the Security Council, to be a member of the Security Council on the 16th of October as a non-permanent member. I'm particularly happy to see you be the president of the Security Council in January of 2016, I would also like to express the gratitude of Mali for the remarkable way with which the United States led the work of the Security Council last month. The highlights of that presidency were the adoption of important resolutions, in particular Resolution 2253 on Daesh, but also 2258 on Syria. I would also like to once again congratulate the delegation of Egypt, Senegal, Japan, and Ukraine on their brilliant election as non-permanent members of the Security Council. The delegation of Mali would like to assure all the new members of the Council of our full cooperation. Mr. President, I would also like to commend Chile, Jordan, Lithuania, Nigeria, and Chad. Their term came to an end on the 31st of December. We would like to express our gratitude for the very important role that they have played in the Security Council in resolving the multidimensional crisis that has affected my country, Mali, since 2012. I would also like to express our gratitude to all the members of the Security Council, both permanent and non-permanent members, and to the entire international community. I would like to, on behalf of the President of the Republic, His Excellency Monsieur Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, and the people and government of Mali, to pay tribute for the support and the outpouring of solidarity that my country has benefited from throughout this crisis. I would also like to express our gratitude to the Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, to Algeria, to the leader of the International Mediation and chair of the Monitoring Committee of the Agreement for Peace and Reconciliation in Mali. I also would like to thank the African Union, ECOWAS, the European Union, International Islamic Cooperation Organization, France, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and the United States. All these countries have spared, partners have spared no effort in restoring peace and stability in Mali, and I would like to express our deep gratitude. I would also, although it's symbolic, would like to pay tribute to the memory of the victims, both civilian and military ones, both Malian and foreign, who have lost their lives in the course of the Malian crisis, and express our gratitude to the United Nations and to all the troop contributing countries for the sacrifice, for their sacrifice. Mr. President, the delegation of Sali would like to commend our dear friend, Mr. Hervé Latsou, Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations. I'd like to thank him for his briefing, for presenting the report. We also, this is an excellent report, well-balanced. It covers both the situation on the ground, but also acknowledges the efforts made by everyone in Mali, the government, our movement, and our people in general. It also underscores the challenges, which are important challenges, and also the difficulty that we have encountered in implementing this report. So I commend the presentation of this report. But I would also like to now make some preliminary comments. First of all, I'd like to reiterate the determination of the government of Mali to implement the provisions of the Agreement for Peace and National Reconciliation. That determination is unwavering and complete. Bearing this in mind, my delegation welcomes the positive dynamic that has been launched over the past few months by the signatory movements. Secondly, it's important to note today that there's an increase in terrorist activities, and this is the main hindrance to the implementation of the Agreement for Peace and Reconciliation in Mali. Indeed, terrorist groups have regained lost ground, and they now act covertly in order to intimidate the various communities, and they have expanded their activities to strategic targets, in particular hotels, for example. This is clearly confirmed by the murderous attacks on the Biblos Hotel in Sévaré and the Radisson Blue Hotel in Bamako. Thirdly, I'd like to also draw your attention to the significant progress that has been achieved, as was mentioned earlier, in the implementation of the agreement under the leadership of President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, in spite of the difficulties we've encountered, which are inherent to any peace process of this type. Mr. President, you will recall that on the 6th of October 2015, during a similar exercise, the delegation of Mali briefed the Security Council on the actions and initiatives carried out by the government in the framework of the implementation of the Agreement for Peace and Reconciliation. These actions and initiatives have continued with the support of our partners. The government has developed and submitted a plan of action, which is a reference framework for the implementation of the agreement. That was last July, with a very specific sequence of actions and timetable. I would also like to tell you about the actions and institutional measures that have been implemented in addition to what Mr. Latsou reported on earlier. First of all, in the area of economic, social, and cultural development, as envisioned by the agreement, the International Conference for the Economic Stimulus and Recovery and Development of Mali was organized by the government of Mali and the OECD in Paris on the 22nd of October of last year. It included representatives from the signatory parties of the agreement, civil society, the Malian and international private sector, as well as representatives of 64 countries and international organizations. The ceremony was co-chaired by the heads of state of Mali and France, and also the Secretary General of the OECD. At that opportunity, the government of Mali expressed its determination to lay the groundwork for speeding up the economic growth throughout Mali. It also reiterated its determination to implement decentralization, which will grant the regions of Mali effective responsibilities and capacities on local affairs and on territorial and local development. The government of Mali also submitted a draft a strategy for development specifically for the northern regions of the country, as recommended in the agreement. It also announced a contribution from its own resources of some 451 million euros for the period 2016-2018. Furthermore, the government of the Republic of Mali announced the establishment of a sustainable development fund as envisioned in the agreement. That fund will be based on shared and inclusive governance and respect the most strictest standards in terms of accountability and transparency. The International Conference for the Economic Recovery and Development of Mali, or Economic Stimulus and Development of Mali, was an opportunity to take stock of the financial commitment by the partners of Mali. And this stands at, as was indicated, around 3.2 billion euros. This is covering a period 2015-2017, including 596 million euros for the northern region based on the initial pledges made during that conference. I'd like to just mention that the overall cost of these actions for rapid recovery, including the reduction of poverty and development, was evaluated at approximately 3.5 billion euros over the six upcoming years. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all partners, the partners of Mali, for their mobilization and their engagement and commitment. And in particular, I'd like to highlight the central role of the United Nations. Now, secondly, in the framework of the actions for development of infrastructures, the government has conducted an evaluation of the needs for our road infrastructure and is working on mobilizing financial resources to implement these actions. In particular, we can note that the financing has been found for the road Gao-Burem-Tosa, which is a strategic road, and also the section for the Burem-Kidal road has partially been found. Now, in the area of basic social services, the government has undertaken several actions in the framework of the humanitarian emergency plan. Over this past month, the priority has been given to the anti-malaria response and to education. And in fact, against this backdrop, an evaluation mission of the government of Mali was sent to organize the opening of classes of schools, and this has been accomplished in Kidal. Kits have been distributed to schools and to schools in the region. Also, electricity has been reestablished in Kidal after several years where there's no electricity, and Menaka as well, by installing electric generators by the local national electricity company with the support of signatories of the agreement. We unfortunately regret the lack of cooperation and support from movements, certain movements, signatories of the agreement, in particular their continued occupation of classrooms, which has slightly affected the smooth implementation of the process. Now, regarding the arrangement, the support arrangement, basically this is the monitoring committee and its local components. They meet to hold regular sessions. The government of Mali deplores, however, that the process is slow, is inefficient sometimes in the way the committee operates, and often too much time is lost on procedural matters. Now, as far as the political and institutional area, the government has established, as we've seen from the report, we have to recall that the government of Mali, under the leadership of the head of state, has established a specific ministerial department in charge of decentralization and the reform of the state. That department is headed by an individual from the Kidal region who knows very well the challenges that this region is facing and the need to go quickly in implementing institutional and political reform. A plan has been designed in accordance with the plan of action developed by the government, but also in accordance with the timetable of the implementation of the agreement. And this year will give us an opportunity to actually start implementing this very important project. Also, a national committee for the implementation of the agreement, chaired by the Prime Minister and head of government, has been established. That committee is supported by a technical secretariat. On this point, I would like to just mention that the national committee for the implementation of the agreement and its technical secretariat were created in order to ensure the national appropriation of this process by Mali and by its government. This mechanism, which is open, as was also mentioned by Mr. Latsou, open to the movements that have signed the agreement, will work in close cooperation with the monitoring committee as envisioned in the agreement. Furthermore, the government of Mali and the technical and financial partners have established a mechanism for coordination aiming to ensure the optimal management and transparent management of resources earmarked for the implementation of the agreement. The first meeting of that mechanism already took place last this month. Now, in the area of reconciliation, justice, and humanitarian activities, the main actions carried out under this chapter was the meeting between among the different communities. This is all part of the process of reconciliation among all the communities. Since the Anafis initiative, in which the government played an important role, and which certainly promoted the easing of tensions among the movement. So since that initiative of Anfis, the various initiatives have been implemented on the ground. It's also important to note the setting up of the Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission. The challenges in making it operational have also been resolved. On this point, the government did adopt in Council of Ministers on the 23rd of December a decree authorizing the expansion of that commission in order to make it as inclusive as possible. Now, in the area of defense and security, overall the security situation on the ground has seen a certain improvement, particularly due to the cessation of hostilities among the parties and the dissemination of messages of peace and support to the agreement, which have been expressed regularly by all the parties to the agreement. The Technical Commission of Security, as envisioned by the agreement, does meet regularly. However, the operational mechanism of coordination still needs to be made operational in spite of the resources made available to it by the government to accelerate this process. It would be a good idea for MINUSMA to be more involved in making this operational mechanism, in this joint mechanism, more operational. Now, regarding the DDR commissions, demobilization, disarmament, and reintegration, the government adopted in the Council of Ministers on the 29th of December, as was also mentioned earlier, a decree pertaining to the creation organization and modal and operating methods of the National Commission of DDR, as well as adopted a decree pertaining to the establishment, organization, and the methods of operation of the Integration Commission. These texts were developed following a workshop on a draft document of a global strategy of DDR. This was organized by the Ministry of Defense and of former combatants, and included the participation of representatives of movements that were signatories to the agreement. Now, the cantonment phase of DDR, as it was designed and supported by the government, envisions a cantonment with all the necessary amenities. I would like to draw the attention of the Council on the need to accelerate cantonment, as was mentioned earlier. And I would like to invite MINUSMA to play its full role in this process and bring the armed groups to cooperate in order to ensure the success of this operation within the established timetable. As far as the joint patrols or mixed patrols, the government of Mali welcomes an initial operation organized in November of 2015, and we share the last statement made by Mr. Latsou that more effort needs to be done. It's essential for it's essential for closer work on this. We deplore, unfortunately, the lack of cooperation of our brethren from the CMA, who have told us that they have neither heavy weapons or vehicles to continue joint patrols. The government has made available a certain number of resources that make it possible to continue with this process. Mr. President, as we can see, concrete progress has been achieved by the government in the implementation of the Agreement for Peace and Reconciliation in Mali. However, the persistence of a number of challenges remain, in particular threats linked to the presence of terrorist groups in the north of Mali. And this worries us and urges us to action. The threat is real and is today the main challenge to ensure a turn to peace in Mali. Indeed, a resumption of terrorist activities in the north of the country clearly aims at slowing down the implementation of the agreement and creating fear in among the business and investment community, which renew their interest in Mali, and this has been particularly promising after the very fruitful meeting at the OECD to provide a stimulus to the Malian economy. These are the nefarious goals of the terrorist group Ansar Dine, which has been inscribed on the sanctions list of the Council, as well as its partners in the movement of liberation of Massina and other terrorist groups AQMI and Al-Burabitoun, which have claimed responsibility for a number of terrorist actions in our country. For example, that was the case on Friday, the 20th of November, where a number of fanatics from a bygone age, fiercely determined, carried out a horrible massacre when they attacked the Radisson Blue Hotel in Bamako. Unfortunately, the Friends of Mali, of different nationalities, lost their lives in the course of this tragedy. And this very sad recalling the sad events, I would like to express once again to the families and to the nations who lost their nationals their deepest condolences to the people and government of Mali. As the President, Mr. Keita, recalled, the reopening of the Radisson Blue Hotel on the 15th of December of last year was a global symbol of resilience and a rejection of terror. The government of Mali is perfectly aware that peacekeeping operations are not designed to combat terrorism. Unfortunately, we have to note that MINUSMA is operating currently now in an environment marked by the presence and the activities of terrorist organizations. Now, in the framework of their state functions, the defense and security forces of Mali are the first line of defense against terrorism. However, given how huge our national territory is, and given the asymmetric character of this war, they can't do this by themselves. It's also an opportunity for our French friends on this 11th of January to the third anniversary of the launching of the Operation Serval, to express our deep appreciation to France for their intervention in Mali, which saved us, and also for the remarkable work carried out by the Force Barkhane in the framework of combating terrorism. Mr. President, in the face of the persistent terrorist threat, I would like to once again call on the Security Council to consider, in the framework of reviewing the mandate of MISMA, to strengthen its operational capacity in order to adapt the force to this changing and fluid security context, as indicated in paragraph 60 of the report of the Secretary General. I will quote, "There's every fear that MINUSMA will continue to encounter significant security problems raised by actors that are not participating in the peace process, in other words, extremist and terrorist groups and international drug traffickers," end of quote. In light of the situation, which represents a threat to international peace and security, I would like to reiterate the determination expressed many times by the heads of state and government of regional and sub-regional African organization. That have expressed their wish to set up a rapid intervention force in order to combat terrorism based on the efforts of the countries of the region. Our concern is particularly great since we fear a junction and cooperation between various terrorist groups operating in the Sahel, in particular in the north of Mali, I just mentioned a few, but also in Libya, where the presence of the Islamic State is a reality in that part of Africa, but also in the Lake Chad Basin with the murderous operations of Boko Haram, and all this could lead to terrible consequences. Mr. President, we need to take the terrorist threat in the Sahel region very seriously. I think we'd be making a very serious effort, mistake if we were selective in our combat against terrorism. Terrorist actions, wherever they're committed, are criminal and unjustifiable. Whatever their motivations, their era, or the place where they're committed, or the perpetrators. This is why the delegation of Mali welcomes the adoption on the 17th of December of 2015 of Resolution 2253 on the Islamic State. And we would urge the Security Council to consider even stronger measures against terrorist groups operating in the Sahel and Sahara region. Fanatics who attacked the Radisson Blue Hotel, who took so many young lives in Bataclan in Paris, those who sowed terror in San Bernardino in California, those who have made so many innocent victims around the world, they are all inspired, unfortunately, by the same ideology of hatred, the ideology of subjecting human beings to an inhuman order. These individuals who have no faith or no law have nothing to do with the religion of Muhammad, which is a religion of peace, a religion of humanism, a religion of respect for your neighbor, peaceful coexistence amongst people, and that promotes preservation and the sacred character of the human life. We have the firm conviction that nothing, absolutely nothing, can justify terrorism. No cause justify this scourge that has no country, no religion, and no border. In the face of this phenomenon, we need to show a solidarity, exemplary solidarity. We need to state clearly that terrorism will not triumph. If we are united, we will be able to defeat terrorism. Mr. President, in conclusion, I would like to thank my friend, the Minister Monji Hamdi, Special Representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations and Head of MINUSMA, who is preparing to step down after a year of very intense activities, in particular highlighted by the conclusion of the Peace and Reconciliation Agreement. I would like to pay tribute to him for his work at the head of MINUSMA and to wish him on behalf of the government of Mali every success in his future endeavors. I would also like to take this opportunity to congratulate my friend and brother, Mr. Minister Mohamed Saleh Anadif, who's an excellent diplomat with a huge experience in peacekeeping, who was chosen to lead MINUSMA. I would like to express the full readiness of the government of Mali to work with him in order to accelerate the implementation of the agreement for peace and reconciliation in Mali and ensure the success of his mission, which is essential for the success of the country. I would also like, at the beginning of this new year, ladies and gentlemen, members of the council, I'd like to wish you a very happy 2016. May the new year see the efforts of the international community in its combat against terrorism and restoring peace and stability in the world be crowned with success. I would like, finally, Mr. President, on a completely different topic, in light of the significant progress achieved in my country thanks to the presence of the United Nations, invite the Security Council to request the Secretariat to conduct an in-depth study in order to think already of an exit strategy of MINUSMA in Mali. This is not premature. We think that any operation on the ground should already be an opportunity for us to think of an exit strategy, and we should start thinking about it now so that we have a stance that allows us to better evaluate the capacities available, the resources that can be made available, and the ultimate strategy that can be used in order to make it possible for Mali to get back on its feet and rely on its forces of defense and security. The idea is to gradually draw down MINUSMA based on a number of specific goals and specific targets, and they would be replaced, obviously, by our defense forces in the framework of the mission of our armed forces, and it would obviously be as part of an effort to ensure peace and stabilization in our country. This is a thought that we wanted to share with you in a very constructive attitude. Once again, we'd like to express the tremendous gratitude we feel for all the efforts that have been made and continue to be made to help our country get back on its feet. But I think that we need to anticipate, we need to think already of the future. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
I thank His Excellency Minister Abdoulaye Diop for that statement. I now invite council members to hold informal consultations to continue our discussion on the subject. The meeting is adjourned.
You have just listened to the presentation of the latest report of the United Nations Secretary General on the situation in Mali before the Security Council. For further information, you can visit the page dedicated to the conflict in Mali at Equipo Niscor's website. This program has been produced on January 15, 2016 at Radio Niscor's studios in Belgium.